Chapter 3. The investigation begins.
I have a job for you, says Elizabeth after arriving at Ibrahim's apartment very early. She had rung him the night before with the news about Tony Curran. She had heard it from Ron, who had heard it from Jason, who had heard it from an unknown source. All I need you to do is lie to a police officer, she continues. Can I trust you to do that?
When can you not trust me, Elizabeth? Asks Ibrahim.
So, who killed Tony Curran and how do we catch him or her? Asks Elizabeth.
After visiting Ibrahim, she had immediately come to see Penny.
I'm sure he has enemies, Elizabeth continues.
She is sitting in her usual chair near Penny's bed.
More tattoos than Ron, big house, etc. Why don't we start by looking at Ian Ventham? He and Tony Curran had a little argument. Ron and Joyce saw them. Perhaps Ventham is unhappy with Curran and they have something to discuss, but they do it outside where people can see them. Why? Because Ventham has to give him bad news and he's frightened of how Curran will react. He hopes to make Curran calm, but he's unsuccessful. This is Ron's idea.
There is a small sponge next to the bed. Elizabeth puts it in a bowl of water and wipes Penny's dry lips.
What would Ventham do in that situation, Penny? Follow Curran to his house? Kill Curran before Curran kills him? I want to know about their financial relationship. There's a man in Geneva who owes me a favour, so we should be able to get Ventham's financial files by this evening.
Elizabeth stands and kisses her friend on the top of her head, then smiles at Penny's husband, who is sitting on the other side of her.
How are you, John?
He puts down his book and looks up.
Oh, you know.
I do, Elizabeth replies.
The nurses say Penny Gray can hear nothing, but who can really know? John never speaks to Penny when Elizabeth is in the room. He comes to Willow's at 7 each morning and leaves at 9 each evening to go back to the apartment that he and Penny had shared. Elizabeth leaves the lovers together. Donna carries tea into the incident room, which is full of police officers. A builder from Fairhaven has been murdered, and DCI Chris Hudson is talking to his team.
There's CCTV at the house, he tells them. Tony Curran left Cooper's Chase at 2 p.m. and he died at 3:32. We know that from his broken watch. That's not a lot of time to search.
Donna has placed the tea on a desk. She reaches down, pretending to tie her shoe. She's interested to hear Chris mention Cooper's Chase.
There are also traffic cameras on the roads near the house, so let's get those videos too, says Chris. Are you all right, Constable?
Yes, sir,
Donna replies, straightening and moving towards the door.
Until we can look at the CCTV, Chris continues, our best lead is the photograph the killer left by the body. Let's have a look at it.
Donna turns and sees, lit on the wall, an old photograph of three men in a pub, laughing and drinking. Their table is covered in money. She only has a moment, but she recognises one of them immediately.
Constable,
says Chris, moving his eyes towards the door.
Sorry, sir,
she replies, and walks through, back to more boring paperwork.
So, we know these three men very well, continues Chris. Shall we talk about them one by one?
The door shuts, and Donna sighs. Later that day, the phone on Donna's desk rings.
There are two old ladies here, and one of them says someone has stolen her bag, says the receptionist. She's a nun, and she'll only talk to a female police officer.
When Donna reaches reception, she is surprised to see Elizabeth and Joyce there. She immediately takes them to an interview room. They all sit down.
So, you're a nun now, are you, Elizabeth? Donna asks.
Elizabeth smiles and takes out a notebook as Joyce looks around the room.
This is exactly like you see on TV, PC De Freitas. It must be such fun to work here.
Donna, however, is not smiling.
Can I ask what the two of you are doing here before I go back to catching criminals?
Elizabeth claps her hands lightly.
Firstly, stop pretending you're not pleased to see us. And secondly, we know you're not catching criminals.
She looks down at her notebook.
We know you left the Metropolitan Police and came from London to Fairhaven, probably because of a relationship that went wrong, and you're very bored. Most of the officers here are older than you, and you feel you've made a mistake. But you wait and hope something exciting will happen, like a woman who isn't a nun pretending that her bag has been stolen.
Donna's face does not change.
What are you doing here, Elizabeth? She repeats.
Wouldn't you like to be investigating the Tony Curran murder?
Donna rests her chin on her hands.
There's already a team investigating the murder. I just took them their tea in the incident room.
They say he was hit with a large spanner, says Elizabeth, looking down at her notes. Is that true?
I can't say.
Wouldn't you like to be part of it, Donna?
Donna looks down at the table.
Okay, yes, I would very much like to be part of it, but I can't just ask because I'm bored.
Elizabeth smiles.
Don't worry about that. We can organise it.
You can organise it, says Donna.
How? And when?
Elizabeth looks at her watch and smiles.
In an hour, maybe.
And this conversation never leaves this room? Asks Donna.
Elizabeth lifts a finger to her lips. Donna holds up her hands.
But what will you get out of it?
We're just helping a new friend, says Elizabeth, and we may occasionally have a question for you.
You know I can't tell you anything that's confidential.
Elizabeth nods.
Nothing confidential. As a woman of God, I promise.
In an hour, you say?
Elizabeth looks at her watch.
Yes, depending on the traffic.
DCI Chris Hudson is sitting with Ibrahim and Ron in Ibrahim's comfortable apartment. After the surprise of seeing Cooper's chase, he has been to retirement villages before, and this lovely, peaceful development is not what he was expecting. He is even more surprised to see Ron Ritchie, the famous trade union leader and father of Jason Ritchie, whom Chris is investigating. Chris thinks again about the three men in the photo. Tony Curran and Bobby Tanner, arms around each other, and to the side, a bottle in his hand and that handsome broken nose, Jason Ritchie. But what had happened to Angry Red Ron? He is wearing old pajamas and no shoes and looking around with empty eyes.
It can be very stressful for old people to talk to the police, Ibrahim explains after making them all tea. Ron really wants to talk to you about the argument he saw.
I just don't think I can, says Ron. I don't want any trouble.
I promise there won't be any trouble, says Chris. You can tell me anything and it will stay confidential.
I think I'd be happier talking to the lady.
Chris turns to Ibrahim. The lady?
The lady who came to talk to us about home safety, says Ron.
Oh, yes, says Ibrahim. P.C. de Freitas. Do you know her, DCI Hudson?
Of course, she's one of my team.
Chris tries to remember if the young woman who brought in the tea was Donna de Freitas.
But she's not working on this case.
Ron and Ibrahim don't say a word. They just look quietly at Chris.
But it's a great idea, says Chris. I'll bring her in on the case.
Ron picks up his cup of tea for the first time.
That would be good. I'll talk to Jason.
Jason? Asks Chris.
My son, Jason Ritchie, the boxer. He was here and saw the argument too.